Okay, we're continuing in Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, second volume, page Samach. Yesterday the Tzaddik told us that we have to have two important conditions existing for us to feel this neshama. And one is, person must make sure that things are very clear to him. There has to be an olam borer. And also that the neshama has to feel, to be able to have this clarity, neshama has to be able to feel the ruchnius. To be able to feel these things clearly, just like the idea of Hashem is your father. There has to be a clarity in this. And these things have to be simply understood to get this type of clarity. He continued to talk about the idea of taste. And if you like something, you can taste something and you enjoy it, you don't mind tasting it again. Similarly with a niggun, you enjoy that as well. So you can see that there is a way to enjoy these things for long periods of time and to hear simple things over once again and again without being disgusted with it. So we're on the fourth line on page Samach. What's the source of the problem when it comes to service to Hashem that we can't enjoy simple things on a long basis? So he explains, K'dei sha'adam yirtza lachzer oit pam v'oit pam al davar mesuyim. When a person wants to review something again and again and again on a specific area, tzarech shiskayim ba pasuk, you must have fulfilling in himself the pasuk that says, tamu ra'u, taste and see, ki tov Hashem, that Hashem is good. Right? It says, tamu ra'u, taste it and see it. And then you'll see that Hashem is good. K'shu margish betamo, uberu'u, ki tov Hashem. A person can feel the taste and seeing that Hashem is good. Also, yigara inyan zem mikol machol acher, asher misanik hu al chilaso pam acher pam. Then this thing won't be any worse than any other food that you enjoy, that you're able to eat it time after time. If you can sense that. All right? So, you know, when he's saying yirtza lachzer od pam v'od, to repeat something, you know, it's if you taste it, then you want to do it over and over and over. Shor shenakudu, the root of the point is shekol shman shenishmasu shaladam eno bigoli. As long as the soul isn't revealed, kashlo lachush, it's hard for a human being to feel the tamaru ki tov Hashem, that taste and see that Hashem is good. Vim b'chol ofen hu chash. And with any other way that he senses things, right? Angels elele etim nadiris yoser. And when he does sense it, the soul senses it, it's only on rare occasion. Once in a while, epis, you feel something from the soul. Mamela, consequently, kushalole hishtamish binakudas apshutus pamachapam. That's why it's hard to make use of simple points time after time after time. So, you know, that's why, for example, why do people find reviewing the Torah that they learn so laborious? Right? You learn something, it's interesting, and you enjoyed it. And say, okay, let's review it. I don't want to review it. I want to go ahead. So, what do you mean? So the truth is, you really didn't enjoy it. It didn't get into the neshama. The biggest proof that the Torah you learn is not getting into the neshama is because you don't want to review it. And if I would take a class and review it right afterwards, except for maybe two people, nobody would show up. So it was boring. What do you mean it's boring? You want to get a steak again? Yeah. So why don't you go this over? Right? It's boring. So that means it never tasted good to begin with. Your neshama never tasted it. Your neshama never tasted, so, you know. So the intellectual part of you has been satisfied. I heard it once. So the body and the intellect was enjoying it, but the soul was not enjoying it at all. The soul was never revealed when you were learning this. And since the soul wasn't revealed, and the intellect already knows it, so the intellect doesn't want to hear it again. This is like very important. This is like so important, this Yisoid is saying. This is why people's marriages are in big trouble. Their marriages are in big trouble. Why is everybody's marriage in big trouble? Or people don't realize how in big trouble their marriages are. Because a marriage is a union of souls. If you don't get to the point of, if you don't know your soul, how are you going to know you and your wife are one soul? You could hear it all day long, but you don't really feel it. You don't really feel it. Goyim frashtetzich, don't understand what's going on over here. Second, you don't understand what's going on. If you don't feel your own soul, you're not going to feel the merging of your soul with your spouse's soul. So all that's being nurtured in this relationship is your brains and your body. Right? It's your brains and your body. So after a while, you're going to get bored with the same spouse. It's not like, oh, wow, this is amazing. If you really felt your wife's soul and your own soul, it was the simplest pleasure in the world. You'd never tire from it. But since you're not connecting on that level, you tire from it. Just like you don't want to chazer over a gemara. You don't want to chazer over your wife. Had her already. It's not so special. That's what's happening. L'chein, therefore, ha'nekuda shel ha'pshitus kosher rak ba'schola. The point of the simplicity is hard only in the beginning. In the beginning, once you, to get it to the taste level. Once a person merits and fulfills the verse, taste it, and you'll see that Hashem is good. Memela, consequently, you will be drawn after it, these things like metal to a magnet. That's the way the Ramchal says this. Be drawn to a magnet. Because if you liked it once, you're going to certainly like it again if the soul got to that level of liking it. So what comes out of what we're learning? To awaken the soul, you must make use of two powers, two strengths that are within you. The power of perception, to feel things in a clear state, as it's really, really a reality. That's number one. And things got to be clear. They go together. You can't have one without the other. If they're not clear, and you don't have a clear idea about them, they don't have the power to arouse the soul. So, you know, when we're learning Torah, we're doing all these things, it's not clear to us. It's not clear to us what we're really doing. We don't really feel what we're doing when we're doing it. We're just going through the motions. Okay, so that's the issue. So finally, so from now on, I want to try to take simple, clear words, ideas, and to explain them point by point in great detail. Why so much? Why do I have to explain things in such detail? Samachal, as we have said, if you hear things superficially, don't get them clear, you can't awaken the soul. So what he's saying is, we have to work on understand, we have to work to look beneath the surface, but not in a complicated way, but in a way to reveal the simple truths that exists in our Yiddishkeit. If you reveal the simple truth and get them clear, and then make use of those simple truths, then that we will have the power of perception and our neshama will be able to feel them. Ludugmas, for example, now he comes back to what he talked about before, and now he goes into depth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Avinu, Hashem is called our Father. Okay. Does everybody understand that concept clearly? No, you don't. No, you don't. Because, you know, more often than not, if your parents want you to do something different than what Hashem wants you to do, you're going to figure a way to squeeze Hashem into what your parents want. Right? And not the opposite, to squeeze your parents into what Hashem wants. Right? Again, right? Who's more real? Who's more real? Your biological father or Hashem? Right? Ludugma, for example. Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Avinu. Every frum Jew knows and recognizes there is a description of Hashem called our Father. If not sort of initial, so if we stop a person and ask him some questions, Avicha Hagashmi, your physical father. I'll tell you, Deo Lama Hunikra Avicha. Do you know why he's called your physical, why he's called your father? Do you know why he's called your father? Why is he called your father? Ki Mikocho Noletus, because Noladita. Because from his power, you were born. Right? From his power, you were born. Right? We're coming up to the end of chapter 6. On the last page of chapter 6. So, Avicha, that's your physical father. Why? Because from his power, you are born. Umadua Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Avinu. Why is Hashem called our father? Harei ha-moshol ha-gashmi shel tzuras ha-av shemolis ha-ben eino shayach b'ruchanius. This physical analogy of the concept of a and the shape of a father, think of Bruce a son, is not appropriate in spirituality. Right? So mao imken ha-yachas ha-gashmi ben ha-kadosh baruch hu l'beinenu shemishum kachu nikra avinu. So what is the physical connection, relationship that Hashem has with us to which He is called our father? In other words, what is God? Well, he's my spiritual father. What does that mean? Then why is he called our father? I mean, is he our father? Or is he not our father? Your father gave the physical ingredients to make who you were. So what's Hashem involved over here? Right. So whatever your father is. Was physical, it's not spiritual. It's not spiritual, and yet Hashem is called the Father. Right? So Yeshian also shows, if someone will answer this question, Kimasha Kodesh Baruch Nikra Avinu, whom Moshel Balma. The fact God's called our Father, it's just an analogy. It's not really, it's not really, it's just, you know, it's an example. It's not really my Father. It's not really my Father. My Father's my real Father. So I should feel something, you know, have some connection. God, he's like a father. He's like a father, but not really a father. He's like a father, you know, like you say about certain people. He was like a father to me. The guy was like a father. He helped me out. He's like a father to me. He's not really my father. Hashem's not really my father. Vizutos is a big mistake. Kivare ha'av ha'gashmi hu'amash u'lav ha'ruchani. It's the exact opposite. Your physical father, he is only the analogy of your spiritual father. Your real father is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And your physical father is only the analogy to the real father. Ulam HaTor, Av, Klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atzvi Ben Emoshel. The description of father, when we use it in regard to Hashem, that is essentially what it is. And it's not a Moshel, it's not an analogy. Hashem is the Father. Your physical father is only a facsimile of the real Father. Right? Now, the Yeshianu, some will say, no, Shunikra Avinu, Al Shem Shemarachim Aleinu Karachim Avabonim. Well, we call him a father because he's like a father, because he has mercy on us like a father. Just like a father has mercy on his children. So Hashem has mercy on us. So, Yamnam Chunikra, even though that's an correct answer, but the essential kindness, mercy, comes from the fact that he is the Father. Since he is the Father, therefore there is mercy. But that's not what defines him as a father, that's just a ramification of being a father. Huavi, Hashem is my father, kivan shekach mitzius, because that's the reality. And once he's a father, so a father has mercy on his children. Right? So, if we're just going to say that the definition of God as a father is because he's merciful, what we've done is, we've taken away the definition of father. We've dropped him as a father, he's just a merciful one. That's all. We've lost the essential definition. We've changed it with another definition. We're not keeping the definition of father. Hari Elena, what do we see? Shafil Toarim Pshutim Shanachnim Akirim Klapek Rubanishlam. The simple descriptions, titles, that we use to recognize Hashem, Kamo Avinu Atta, like you are my father, This knowledge, he's a well-known father. But the understanding of these things, so that our concepts should be clear in the world of clarity. But their klal, in general, if a person really sink himself in and delve in and learns about it, v'lamad, oshamad v'rim burim, or he didn't hear these clear words, who ended, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? He doesn't know what he's talking about. You call God your father your whole life, and you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't sincerely say it once. You say, Avinu Malkeinu, I'm a shame kipper. You don't mean it. You don't mean it. He's like me. What is he? I don't know. It's the title I give him. Right. Okay. When you were younger, right, and you were really in big trouble, you went to your father for help. Right. So when you ask your father for help, why'd you ask your father for help? Because nobody else can help me but him, because he's my father. Right. Nobody else can. He loves me more than anybody else. He's. Because who else do you turn to except your parents, right? Your kids get married. they're still calling you for help. They're still calling you for help. Not a little bit. They're still calling you for help. Why aren't they calling somebody else? Why aren't they calling my neighbor? Why don't they call other people from the shul that they know? Because nobody else, you know, could care less about them. Could care less about their day-to-day problems, you know. Go to your father. So they go to their father, right? Go to your father. Father's the one. That's the one to hear. If you've had a good father, then you know what I'm talking about. Or if you've been a good father, perhaps, right? We don't go to Hashem like that. We don't go to Hashem like that. You say it. Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech Halot. We don't have anybody but you. Really, we don't. Really. Seems to be going to everybody else but him all the time, right? So if you're going to say, wonder how come I can say Avinu Malkeinu? How come I don't get inspired by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? You know, how come it doesn't last afterwards? How come I don't want to come back afterwards? Because you never were with your father the whole time. You're with this concept of a father, and for a day you could live with a concept, but you can't live with a concept every day. It doesn't taste good. Why? Let's do Rosh Hashanah every day. You can do it every day. Every day. Every day you're davening. I don't want to do it. Because it never tasted good to begin with. You never tasted the Avinu to begin with. So you never tasted him. So, you know, it's enough. Enough with this Avinu business. Right? Alainly spotted. So we have to reflect a fohete very clearly. Mayavona mitis b'mashe kodesh baruch hu nikra Avinu. We have to understand what do we mean when we say Hashem is our father. Ki kafish roimanu, because the way we see things, afil lahaskal lavod la'or as hanashama misak shalav. We're going to want to arouse ourselves by saying that Hashem is our Father. You could say it a million times a day. It's still going to do nothing for you. You know why? Because you don't know what you're saying when you're saying this. He's going to talk about, you know, we got to start saying things. We got to start, you know, talking. Remember, we got to use the voice, right? Remember we said, let's not forget where we're at now. The neshama coming to the body, it produces voices, produces speech. So that's the only way we're going to get back to the neshama is by talking. Okay, we got to talk about things that are pleasant. Remember, pleasant, soft words in the Shema. So pleasant, soft words are simple concepts that it likes to hear. And it likes to hear that Hashem is his father. It likes to hear that. Okay, I'm going to start talking about Hashem being my father. You don't believe what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. You've complicated things by this idea of him being like a father. He's not really. The Shema doesn't want to hear Hashem's like a father. You know, can you imagine somebody tells you that your father is like a father? You don't want to hear that. You know, your dad's not really your dad. Can you imagine? Your dad's not really your dad. He's not. He's not. He's a nice guy, but he's not really your dad. Not. What do you mean he's not really my dad? Well, you know, we have information. He's not really your dad. What? You don't want to hear that. So what are you going to tell your neshama? Avinu Malkeinu. But in your mind, when you say Avinu, what are you saying? Well, he's like a father. Hashem doesn't want to hear that. He said all day long, Hashem, you're my father. Hashem, you're my father. Hashem, you're my father. I'm doing what they say. You're not saying things that are dvarim pshutim. You're not saying honest, simple words the neshama rejects what you're saying, doesn't like the taste of those words, doesn't open up, and you're not connected to your neshama anyway. You can say, well, I'm saying the right things, but you don't know what you're saying. Even that, you don't know what you're saying. The simplest idea, you don't know what it means, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is your father. You say it and you don't, now, how are you going to be able, to change that? You're going to have to think. That's what he's going to tell us in the next chapter. You're going to have to think about this idea. And really think about it for a good long while. What does it mean that he's your father? Play it out. And they play it out enough ways till you finally, at least, it's more than that. You have to believe what you're saying. Right now, most of us don't even believe a Kodesh Baruch Hu is our father. Nobody has probably spent even 5 seconds thinking about this concept their entire life. I think most people don't think about it at all. Sit down, what does it mean? I want to sit down and think, what do I mean when I say he's my father? To have an in-depth analysis of that, what does it mean that he is my father? You know, and a father isn't just somebody you go to when you're in trouble. Yeah, he's my father. Whenever I'm in trouble, I ask him for help. It's still not a father. You know, you could have a rich friend that can do that, and he's not your father. So you know, these simple, you know, 1 minute understandings isn't, because, you know, and did they ever sit in school and teach this to you? No. So how are you supposed to know it? Did your parents ever teach it to you? Maybe, I don't know. Most don't. So then how are you supposed to know it? Now, if when you're a little kid, you were taught, like I said yesterday, if a parent would tell their 5-year-old kid that Hashem is your real father every day and explain it to them, the kid would know it. The kid would know it. Because that's the best time. They'll believe anything you tell them. Because they're so sincere. The neshamas are so open. They're ready to hear any emes. If you tell the kid the emes when he's 5 years old, you know, then he'll talk, accept it. He'll accept it. And he'll understand it. To the degree that the parent believes what they're saying, of course. And then now the kid's working with this idea of Avinu, and he really believes it. He really believes it. And then when he says it, it goes into neshama. And then he wakes up his neshama. Yeah. I guess we're going to have to learn the next chapter. Good. Yeah.
There's a lot of major differences between the comparison of a biological and a real father. First of all, on the physical side, there's dialogue.
Dialogue is just a ramification of what a real father, of the father. Working on the definitions, not what they do, what they are. You could have a real father who can't talk, and could still be a real father, right? And the truth is, your real father in Shemayim does talk all the time. You know what the problem is? Since you don't come in contact with your neshama, you can't hear it. Your real father is saying every day. Do you understand? Hashem says, "Yossi."
Father who can't talk, the
No. It's not the father can't talk. I made a mistake. Let me correct it. Not the father can't talk. The kid can't hear. That's what I should have said. The kid can't hear. The kid can't hear. So it's his father's fault? We learned. The neshama every day says, Yossi, come back. Come back. I'm waiting for you. My hands are open. Hashem says it every day to you.
So in the case of
every day he's saying to you, but you're not listening.
A child who can't hear, if there's a deaf child.
Does that mean the father's not a father?
No, but their relationship is on a different level and it has limitations to it.
But does it change the... You're not getting the...
It changes their relationship.
The father is the...
It changes their relationship.
The father is... You're not getting the idea. The father is a father notwithstanding the relationship. Notwithstanding the inability of the kid to understand it. He still is. The father's going to help. The father diapered the kid when he was little and didn't understand. And that was all being a father, even though the kid didn't know it yet. The father can be a father if the kid doesn't understand what his own father is. Doesn't take away the fact that the father was a father.
Right.
So that's the problem here. We're deaf. Hashem every day is talking to us as a father. Please come back. Please come back. I want you so much. You're not listening.
The second problem with the comparison back and forth on the biological versus spiritual side is if we're looking at how our relationship with our father and even comparing it to the Rebbe Shalom in any way, that's all based on what our relationship with our parents are. if children have a terrible relationship with their parents, I should want my father in heaven.
That's right.
To my drunken, abusive father.
That's why I said it's very important that a very important mitzvah is to raise a child properly. You're right. You're right. And a parent will be held responsible for giving over the wrong image of what a parent is. You're right. I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing with your points. Why we don't?
We are comparing in any way my physical.
No, if you had,
are not my father in some way is up above.
That's what he's saying.
My father down below. There is no comparison. No. My father is a physical father who has certain roles, which are X, and my father in heaven is responsible for every single.
Right. So therefore, what we're saying is that the physical father is only a mushel to the real father, Hashem, as we just read. That's right. So they help us at least to begin to understand what Hashem is. Then we have to take it further. But if I don't even have a mushel to it, then I can't even come to appreciate what a Kaddish Baruch Hu is. That's the whole point he's saying. All right. So we'll see. We'll understand as we go further. As we go, let's see. Kumim Shel Dvarim, to conclude chapter 6. We have to try to set up every point as a simple point. Hashem should give us merit to awaken our souls, to reveal Hashem in each and every one of us. Okay, Perek Zayin. Samach Beis, chapter 7. Okay, now he begins, finally, to really talk about it. Okay, so hopefully by now we're ready to hear it. Haderech lasagas hakaris b'chush b'mitzius yisbrach shemo. The way to achieve recognition that you could feel about the reality of Hashem. And the subcategory is Reishis Avodah, the beginning of the service, Sivishi Hashem L'Nagdi Tamid, I put Hashem before me all the time. So of course, before he's going to really do it, he's going to have to give you one more. Before he actually really does the exercise, he has to give you one more proof. Arata asaknu b'yaseidus advarim. Until now we've been engaged with the fundamentals of our words. Amat suras avodah b'nei, what the entire service of Hashem is built on. Ata naskal lahartzas advarim b'tzuras amasis. Now we're going to present these words in practical ways. Adif adayim lo liyasim es advarim achdiskabu tfuna kolelas. It's still better, you know, to not lay down all these words until this overall picture has been accepted by you, and these things have to be really practical. So Hashulchan Aruch niftav halacha. The Shulchan Aruch, first halacha, the code of Jewish law. You're opening up the book. Okay, I want to know, what should I do as a Jew? How should I live as a Jew? So the first words are Yiskaber Kari Lamud Babor Kalavurisbori. You get up like a lion to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ramah Pasechasvarv, and the Ramah's very first words in the Shulchan Aruch, with the words are Shivishi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I place Hashem before me constantly. King David says this. Who called Godol Bateret, this is a major, big rule of the Torah, big principle. And these are the levels of the righteous who walk before Hashem with this level. You have to always have Hashem before you. Now, why did the Ramah, of everything in the world of nice things to say, he picks this idea as the opening statement of the Shulchan Aruch? We learn a very fundamental point. Bad bebad im limud haTorah im limud halacha nidreshes me'adam avoda tamidis lahasigas hashivisi. Hand in hand, simultaneously, together with your learning Torah, with your learning halacha, and everything else that's wrapped up in being a Jew, it's demanded from a person consistent work in achieving the concept of shivisi, that Hashem is always in front of me. Meaning to say, lo shivisi al cheshbon haTorah. It's not the effort of bringing God to you at the expense of not learning Torah. V'lo Torah cheshbon shivisi, and we're not learning Torah at the expense of not feeling Hashem is in front of us. El shnei advarim yitzchak, we need both of them. Limud haTorah shel haYehudi tzarich lehiasos b'mahalach shel shivisi. The learning of the Torah of a Jew has to be with the flow, with the pathway of shivisi at the same time. In other words, these are two concepts that have to go hand in hand. You're about to learn Torah. Well, you're learning Torah, you better have Hashem in front of you while you're learning the Torah. Kim lo ken, because if that's not what the message of the Ramah is, then there's a major problem. Yikshemar l'Ramah. It's a big question in the Ramah. Madua nakadavka nekudazu bereishis varf. Why did he make bedavka this point to be the first words he had to say? You know, it's very hard. He says these are the levels of the tzaddikim. Imzoi mala hashayachim rak liyichidi skula shigilu madrigas niflos. If these words are only appropriate to the unique individuals who have reached these amazing levels, right? If he's telling you something that only applies to the Godel Hador, how can I even open up the book? Is this what you want me to be? This is the Bible for every Jew of how to live. This is the code of Jewish law. So how can you expect us to live with something that's beyond whatever, you know, this law was given for every Jew. Every Jew. So how can you start off the book for every Jew, Binakuda Shal Shivisi, with the point of Shivisi, meaning to say that you gotta have Hashem before him all the time? So what's he trying to tell us? Bar HaDover, it's clear, Efo. Shabar HaMolomar Kan Lodom, he's coming to tell a person. Shamahalach Shalimar Allah, Limar Torah Bechlal. The mannerism of how we learn Torah and Halacha. How we learn Halacha specifically and Torah in general. How our pathway should be. It has to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're opening up the Shulchan Aruch, you're opening it with Hashem as your Chavrus. We're going to start learning Halachas now. And some of those halachas you may not be so happy with. You may think they're weird. You may think it's just a hashkafa issue, but not a halacha issue. And I can pick and choose what I'm in the mood to do. So the first words you hear is Shivisa Shem Lagi Tami. We're learning this book together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we're learning this book with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, right here. Right here is the Rabbi Shel Olam. There's a seat right here. If I don't understand that he's right here, then anything I'm reading in here is worthless. Because it's all, these are concepts. These halachas are concepts. And if my friends don't do it, so I don't do it. Right? You learn hilchos tznius. Hilchos tznius. Modesty. So it's Rabbi Shlom's teaching you the laws. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. Well, you know, all our friends, we don't do it. Oh, that's very nice. So where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, you know, we just don't do it. As a matter of fact, we don't invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our gatherings, that when we get together. He doesn't come to these. We leave him outside the door. We go to places where there aren't mezuzahs to do those things, so Hashem doesn't come with us. Okay. So I said, what are you fooling? Are you learning Allah or you're not learning Allah? Are you learning or not? Listen, it's fascinating laws. You know, but you don't have to do them, just learning them. You don't have to do them. So, no, it's Shivisi. It's Hashem's right here. Hashem's sitting in the class with us. We're learning halachas of, you know, the halacha says you don't talk in shul. How many yidden have Shivisi on that one? It's one of the most black and white, no shaila what it's saying. It says it's the biggest sin to bear. I mean, it's incredible. And 95% of Orthodox Jews say it's not applicable nowadays. It never was. Because Hashem's not there. Right? Any of these things. Whatever you don't want to do, that's where Hashem's not there. Right? Things you like to do, yeah, we got to do this. Because you like doing that one. Well, something you don't like to do, out it goes. Right?
They forget
about everything. They forget all four words. Right? So it's got to be Dafka with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shivisa Hashem lenegdi tami, going out to Samach Gimel, who mahalach tzamud la'asogas Torah. It is closely bound to achieving Torah. Haskolas ha'av voda tzrich li'us b'nekuda basasis. The beginning of our service to Hashem has to be with this fundamental point. She'akaris mitzias ha'bar yisparach. It has to be a recognition of the reality of Hashem. Then we can come to love, fear, cleaving, etc., etc. We can get to other things, but the book starts with Shivisi Hashem. It's the first halacha. Anyways, that's the first halacha. When I start learning halachas, I'll tell you what the first halacha is. Shivisi Hashem is the first halacha. Learn it. And that's why the right there, the Mishnah Berura, unfortunately, Chasam, I'm not criticizing Chavetz Chaim, but it's unfortunate he put it in the Be'er Halacha. Since he put it in the Be'er Halacha, not everybody looks in the Be'er Halacha commentary. He writes the six constant mitzvahs. Why is it? Listen, I want to learn Halacha. You know, the first time I looked at it, years ago. You skipped it. You're a bacher. You want to learn the halachas, right? Ah, Be'er Halacha. Be'er Halacha is going to be a halacha l'mais. Okay, I'll look the Be'er Halacha. Like, you know, they're painful. They're long. They're hard. You know, you got to really want to get into doing the Be'er Halacha. Mishnah Berurahs are easy. Be'er Halacha, that's a tough one. Puts in the six constant mitzvahs. Yeah, so when you're 20, you know, you're bacher learning at 18, 19, 20, skip that one. You know, skip that one because it doesn't tell me what to do. You got to realize, now you get a little older. Six constant mitzvahs, that's the application of Shavisi Hashem L'negdi Tamid. If you don't have the six constant mitzvahs, how are you gonna follow the halachas? Now, it's interesting. Let's take a look now. Alright, at next paragraph, okay? Kishem, right? Kishem, Kisha'adam, mine. Let's say you want to drink water. Right. Nowadays, we're so particular about this. Reishis hu bodek sheish mine. First of all, you gotta check if you got water. Right? Then you could say, is it hot water? Is it cold water? Right? I want some hot water. You want some hot water? Do you have any water? I don't know. I didn't look. Well, we don't get any water. There's nothing to talk about. You want to have coffee. You want to have Crystal Light powders into your drink of water. Well, let's see if we got water. If we got water, we have what to talk about. Kimein mayim yevshul livduk midas chomeim. If you don't have any water, we can't even measure the temperature of it. Kach b'nimshol, so it is in the nimshol, in the truism here. Ratzar b'nimshol shlifnei she'ovdim osom agim la'av l'yira. Before we begin to work for him and reach levels of love and fear, reishis called tzorach shetiyah ba'adam ha'kar apshut yishesh baro. First thing is you have to come to the recognition that there is a creator. You know, sometimes, you know, all tshuvas, they want to start learning. I want to learn halacha. So what do? They start opening their Shulchan Aruch and they start from the beginning. Bad news. If you want to start about you and start with Halacha and start from the beginning, Shulchan Aruch, don't. Why? Because we're the first Halacha is Shulchan Aruch. The Halachas are the bathroom. Halachas are the bathroom. Believe me, the Balchuva, the beginning, the neophyte is not interested in knowing the Halachas are the bathroom. It's bad. What is the bathroom? Tell me about Shabbos. Tell me about Kosher. Tell me about something that's important. You know, they're not ready for Shivisi Hashem business over here. You know, but if you think about it, the Shulchan is really very cleverly written in the emistic way. The first halachas are the bathroom. To emphasize the point of Shivisi, there's Shivisi even in the bathroom. Let's start in the bathroom. You know, where you think God has no business going into the bathroom. You know, I have halachas in the bathroom. That's my own, business here. It's private. The sign says private. You know what private means? Nobody goes in the bathroom. Not even the rabbi in the shaloylam. There should be no halachas. Just like there's no peeping Tom seeing what I'm doing. I do what I want in the bathroom. I read whatever I want in the bathroom. Whatever I want to do in the bathroom. It's my private business. I'm not exactly ready to show myself. So what are you talking about? Shivis Hashem Lagi Tamid. Hashem's there. Now, let's think for about it. Okay. Your parents. When was the last time your parents went with you to the bathroom? Larry, when was the last time your mother was with you in the bathroom? Maybe when you were 2 years old, training you. Then, Baruch Hashem, the great day came, somewhere around two and a half, whatever. Say, Mommy, I did it on my own. Then your mother will tell you something to the effect of, okay, Larry, now you can do it on your own. You don't need Mommy to come anymore. You know? And that's it. Now listen to that. Your parent doesn't come with you to the bathroom anymore. There's already a place where your parent doesn't go. But your real father, he goes with you to the bathroom too. He really does. How do you know that? Because then you say the bracha asher yotzer. What's this business of saying an asher yotzer? Because who made it go? Who made it go in the bathroom? You know, who made it go? Oh, you know that Prager story. I don't have time to go through it now. this modern Orthodox doctor, whatever. But whatever. No, it's not for now. It's not for now. It's a kid. A kid had a problem.
He, not for now.
Kid had a problem. A kid's son had a problem that he had urinary. Oh, was paralyzed. Was paralyzed. He couldn't go to the bathroom on his. It didn't look like he'd ever be able to go to the bathroom on his own. Kid got better. He finally was able to go to the bathroom on his own, and the kid made the bracha. So everybody's crying and this and that, you know, whole story. But you know, you don't realize until you can't do it. If you can't do it, then all of a sudden, it's a big deal. And Hashem, it's like just like your mother. She would sit you down by the potty, and she'd feed you a story of Timmy on the potty, and this and that, and get you all excited to go because your mother's helping you learn how to go, and to go properly, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's been doing that all the time. He's doing it all the time. Your mother is only taking over once it's coming out of the body. See, your mother and father can only take care of once it's out of the body. But how are you going to get it out of the body? No parent can get it out of the body except the real parent, Hashem. So your parents, you already are separated from your parents. This is probably the first place where you say goodbye to your parents. Right? Yeah, still when you're 3 years old, your mother's dressing you and these things. But she ain't going to the bathroom with you. I mean, that no parent wants to go. That's like, ugh. Fui. You know, okay, you got to do it. I'm a parent. Never have to do it. Right? But once you're old enough, parent doesn't want nothing to do with you. Rabbi Yisrael, the first halachas are in the bathroom. Because he's your father. Shivis or something like the Talmud, we're just going to start right in the bathroom. Make it real. You know, don't start with about you with these halachas. They're not going to be able to handle it. You know, let's talk about how to daven. I want to know how to daven, how to put on tefillin. And that's holy stuff. The bathroom, listen, you know, don't start there. It's not an exciting place to start. All right, avoda rishonahi. So the first thing we got to do, shonim yagil amadrega shubay yochus, rebashim. You got to feel HaKadosh Baruch. Got to feel him. L'acham ikan yiske gam lavas Hashem, then you'll merit to love him. Yiris Hashem fear him, dveikus bo, yisprach to cleave. Dveikus. Perusha. What does dveikus mean? Shadam kvar dovuk b'kud shabricho. He's already stuck to Hashem. You're stuck to him. Yesh nemetshiyah shal abar yisparach. There is a reality of Hashem. V'yichol yos rechol kamenu. There's a reality that Hashem could be far away. Kidachsiv, it says in Yirmiyahu. Me rechok Hashem nirali. Hashem appears to me to be distant. V'yichol yos b'mahal shal kirva. But on the other hand, it could be a pathway of closeness. As David HaMelech says, as we know, v'ni kirva selakim lito. For me, closeness Hashem is good. So even in terms of dveikus, you know, there's levels. Before we can talk about dveikus, we can talk about dveikus, getting close to Hashem. How can we even talk about getting close to Hashem if you don't even know He exists? Right? Sometimes you feel too close, sometimes far. But at least He exists. He exists. I feel far. He feels far from me, but He exists. Then, if you know that He exists, and you feel that He's far. Okay, how are we going to cut down the distance? I can cut down the distance. V'achashesh kezos metzias. Once there's a reality, tzarachodim lishtadl et tzamtem es amechek ben ala ben kono. Once you realize He exists, so let's got to cut down that distance. Avim metzias, there's no reality. Ein l'mal l'iskev, there's nothing to get close to. So we're talking about dveikus. We're talking about dveikus. Dveikus, I can have dveikus. You don't even, it's not real. You're never going to be dovuk to a concept. You cannot be dovuk to a concept. You want to be dovuk to something that's real. V'im kein, just finishing the bottom of the page. And therefore, kasher nagshim onu l'tzura ha'masim shel Avraham. When we come to the real practical applications, reishis avodah hishadam yachush HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believe we can see this more. The first thing we're going to work on is to feel that God is real. He's just spent this whole page to prove you why this is the first thing we got. The first thing, God is real. You feel God. Echosim, that's how we do this. We will make use of the fundamental principle that we've been telling you until now. And we will now, yes, for sure, the next time we open up the Sefer on next Monday, we will go through the first exercise of how to make a Kodesh Baruch Hu real, and that will begin on page Samach Dalet.